Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 64 for Friday, July 24th, 2015.
Welcome to the Weekly Dose of Fat radio program. This week, it is Sven and JK in the studio with a few segments and interjections from Westward Ho Gomez.
Yeah, we've got one of our traveling hosts back today. Welcome home, JK.
Hello, it's so wonderful to be back. That wasn't even convincing because I totally want to be back on the
outdoor. You still want to be out there?
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk a bit more about your trip a little bit later in the show, but good to have somebody to look at while I'm in the studio here and kind of like, you know, bounce my breath off of.
Fat Bike Radio and the Weekly Dose of Fat is brought to you by Surly. Check out their bikes, wares, and other sundries at surlybikes.com.
Speaking of Surly, let's check in with Gomez, who caught this segment with Adam from Surly out at Saddle Drive just a couple days ago.
Hey, this is Gomez. I'm on my Western field trip, and I ended up at Saddle Drive, and I have Adam Schultes here. He's the product manager for Surly, and he's going to talk to us and tell us the three things people need to know about Surly fat bikes.
Yeah, so I guess the first thing that comes to mind when I think about the fat bikes we offer is choice. We make quite a few different models, with full fatties coming in with Ice Cream Truck, Moonlander, Pugsley. We got something in our back pocket for later this year. We do a handful of plus bikes as well, Instigator, ECR, and Krampus.
Nice. So variety is number one.
Yep.
What would number two be?
Number two would be, I guess, maybe availability. All those bikes I just rattled off, we have those. Those are on dealer's floor. We've been making them for years. They're out in the field.
That's a good point, because a lot of the bikes you see on our site, try and get one.
Exactly.
And number three?
Number three, I don't know. Let me think here. I had one, now I forgot it. You got me on the spot, man. Availability, choice.
What about steel?
Steel. Durability. I think durability in the ride. We've been making fat bikes in one form or fashion for 10-plus years now. We've got more experience doing it than anybody else. We ride the stuff, and I think that a lot of that translates into the product you get to see on the sales floor and to go check out or at the trailhead.
Yeah, Surly is the OG of fat bikes. You know, when I think about the history of fat bikes, I think of before Pugsley and after Pugsley. So thanks for being on this segment. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Gomez. Thanks for the opportunity.
Cool. Thanks, Gomez and Adam. So, JK, what's happening on the show this week?
This week, we'll check in once again with Gomez, who has a couple sections from his field trip out west. We will be taking call-in guests all show to ask the question, do extreme adventures like attempts to cross Antarctica on a fat bike inspire you or make you go, We reveal next week's call-in question. We'll talk fat bike news from the Fatty Farm Field Report. And as always, we got the links.
Right on. Well, let's take a quick break, and when we return, we'll talk about next week's call-in question, and we'll reveal it to all.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
This is David DeBreeze from 45 North. When I'm not ripping groom winter single track, I'm listening to Fat Bike Radio.
And we're back. So, JK, what is next week's call-in question?
How do you feel about USA Cycling's involvement with fat bike racing? Call in next week, Wednesday, from 8 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time to 818-918-2453 and let us discuss with you.
You got Sven on the line?
Hey, Sven. It's Travis. How you doing, man?
So, I don't know if everybody knows, but Travis is our first official fat bike ambassador from up Anchorage Way.
Right on.
You're the first official man. And, so, you know, you've been calling in pretty regularly and kind of letting us know what's going on up your way and, you know, let us know what's going on up your way.
Absolutely. Plan to, keep you guys tuned in and, you know, there's a lot of races up here, particularly in the wintertime, that I'd, you know, like to get out to, and trying to get in good enough shape to actually participate in a few of those. Obviously not like, you know, ITI stuff or anything, but yeah, I want to get out, take some pictures, or even just, you know, ride out onto the course and get some photos for you guys and let you know what's happening up here in Alaska.
Yeah, you sent us one from when you and your wife went to Homer, which is going to be Wallpaper Wednesday coming up in a week,
yeah,
and
yeah,
2 weeks.
Yeah, I got your email.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
coming
awesome.
Up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good shot.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, it's and folks out there, Travis is doing this call-in thing. That's what we'd like other people to do too, from other areas of the country. We'd like them to give us a shout and let us know what's going on in their neighborhood, because, you know, we're Midwest bound a little bit. I mean, Gomez is out on an extended trip right now, all the way out in the Rockies and whatnot, and seeing what's going on. But really, from week to week, we'd like to know what's happening with people in your neighborhood. So, oh no, I just did it, didn't I? Who are the people in your neighborhood? They're in your neighborhood. So we did have a call-in question this week. Do you know what it is, Travis?
Absolutely.
The call-in.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, to remind everybody what it is, it's like, you know, do extreme adventures like people doing attempts to ride their fat bike across Antarctica inspire you to go further, or do they just make you go, eh? So weigh in on the question, Travis.
They absolutely positively inspire me and also make me go, huh? What the hell? Yeah, it's amazing what the human body can do when it puts its mind to it. Definitely inspiring. You know, living here in Alaska and with the ITI, hearing what John Mackey did this year, where, you know, what, 18 hours, 300 and something miles, and then whatever crazy record he set to McGrath. Yeah, it totally blows my mind. But, yeah, I have no personal interest in or enough time in my life to ever get to that level of physical fitness.
Well, you know, the one that got me kind of thinking about this question was, there's a lady, I think she's from England, that is putting together like an $80,000 expedition to go down to Antarctica and try to ride across, which it's not the first time people have tried to ride across Antarctica on fat bikes, but apparently she thinks she has a better chance than the people who've given it a go before. But that's just like insanity.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, in those elements, that's, you know, if you don't have your act together, that'll kill you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think that's why the logistics of it are just so, you know, daunting, that it's an $80,000 thing to make this happen, that you're planning it well enough where you have ways to get out and, you know, you have contingency plans. But that's just an incredible endeavor just to try to make it happen, let alone to actually go out there and do it.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Yeah, I mean, even, yeah, just the financial resources to do it. And what I was really interested in, I stayed on the phone last week and, of course, listened on Friday, and I know Zach Brown called in after me, and I met him at the Big Fat Bike Festival as well as Gomez this year. And he was mentioning the, and I totally forget her name, makes me feel horrible, her and her, I believe, boyfriend or husband previously rode the whole ITI trail and took it another 300 miles to Kotzebue, which is like an amazing feat. And he mentioned that they were bike packing and rafting from Juneau to Homer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yep.
Yeah, he mentioned they had a blog for that. Yeah, if he, you know, if we can get Zach to get that address, man, I would love to follow that.
Yeah, I'll go back and check it out. We've had the link in show notes before. I'll go back and see if we can uncover that.
Oh, cool.
Speaking of Uncle Gomez, I think we have an Uncle Gomez on the line. Hello?
What's up?
Uncle Gomez. We're talking to Travis right now, brother. What's happening?
Travis? What's happening?
Hey, Gomez, how you doing?
0 o'clock here on the western slope of the Rocky Mountains.
Very nice.
I drove back from Saddle Drive and found my way back to Colorado.
Got out of the land of Mormons there?
Yeah. I was clean and sober for 48 hours.
Congratulations.
The Church of the Latter-day Saints.
Or I'm sorry, depending on how you look at it.
Actually, you know, beer makes you really full at altitude or something. I don't know.
I remember the first time I ever had, like, beer at altitude. It was Grolsch. If you remember Grolsch beer, it was in Vail.
Oh, sure. With a little poppy
note. And it was at, like, 8,500 feet, and it just gets you hammered really fast, too, and you get full. You're right, you get full. But, boy, I still remember that day.
So I'm bringing back the beer segment.
Oh, right on.
I'm drinking Upslope Brewing out of Boulder, Colorado. It's a pale ale. My buddy Tommy served me one of these on his patio earlier in my trip.
So patio, patio.
Jackalope Liquors and picked me up a six-pack. They come in cans.
That's the Beer Advocate
it's
score.
American Pale Ale. Beer Advocate gives it like an 80-something. The regular Beer Advocate gives it an 81, which is good. But the Bros give it a 90.
This is very good.
Yeah.
If I don't
maybe. We should become one of the Bros.
Well, what I'm thinking is that we have now probably enough experience with beer that we should just give it how many gnomes it is and leave the Bro scores out. What do you think?
Well, there you go. Going from 101 to 100. So people can compare.
We
or
can.
just go with the full metric system and say, no, it's just 81 out from 1 to 71 gnomes.
71 being
like that other site.
Excellent. Well, JK and I are sucking down Crystal Geyser Natural Alpine Spring Water because we're still sweating off the practice laps.
Actually, I'm drinking Milwaukee tap water in a Dasani water bottle.
Yeah, we were running a little late on swinging by and actually grabbing some beer for the show today.
So is Travis still here?
Travis is still here.
Yeah, still here.
How's it going, Travis?
Going good. How you doing?
I never knew I could be this happy.
Sounds like you're on an epic adventure, sir.
Yeah. I think Dirty from Drunk Cyclist said it best when he said, you are overlanding hard now. Overlanding. Yeah.
That's a new word.
It's all about driving your car to places. It's been a good trip, though.
You're driving the car so you can ride your bike, right?
Yeah. I'm getting to do all of those things and take some. Oh, I was just looking at some pictures I took in Utah of a bike, and it was like, oh my God, so good. But that's all I can really say about it. There's secret stuff going on in this trip. I hope you all know this.
You can keep your secrets until it's time to reveal them.
Dun, dun, dun. I know. Well, you can just say, we know secret stuff.
We know secret sauce, too, actually.
Stay with the yeah.
We got all sorts of secrets.
I've been to so many places that, you know, it could be anything. It could be just a picture of a cat. I mean, that would be a big secret.
Kitty!
I've never had cat pictures.
Kitty! Kitty! Kitty!
We are an internet company, so cat pictures wouldn't be out of the question.
Kitty.
No, kitty.
Bad kitty. Kitty!
It's my crazy cat lady voice.
So throughout the week, Gomez has been sending in little snippets from people he's visited along the route. We'll be judiciously inserting those throughout the show.
Yeah, the first one is that you're going to play tonight is with Adam Blake, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
Or is that the leftover in the script from last week?
Yeah, last week
it would be John Caribou from Moots.
Yeah, we've got Adam from Surly, we've got John from Moots, and we've got Benton from Salsa.
Benton from Salsa. Global sales manager, dude.
Right on.
Yeah, but the first one is John. And, you know, my thing was to say, what's the top three things people need to know about your fat bikes? And I think that that was actually a pretty good little blurb. Everybody took about a couple of minutes and told people what's important to know about their brand.
Yeah, I listened to them all. They all definitely are. They're knowledgeable about their brands, and I think they all have unique kind of value propositions. And you can pick and choose from a lot of really great fat bikes out there.
So here's one from John at Moots.
Hey, it's Gomez here at the Moots World Headquarters in Steamboat, Colorado, and I have John Caribou, the marketing director for Moots here. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Gomez. Thanks for making a stop on your trip. It's nice to have you in the building.
Yeah, just a little tour here is pretty amazing. I'll have much to write about coming up here. But, John, we have you on the hot seat. We are going to ask you to tell our readers and our listeners what the top three things they need to know about Moots Fat Bikes.
Oh, man, three things. So, number one, our history with fat bikes goes back just about 15 years. Some early development with athletes that were taking on the Idita bike, and we kind of went from there. Brought them into the line as a production bike with the Frost Tie and the Frost Hammer most recently.
All right, that's number one. That's a long time ago, 15 years. That's 2002, 2000, somewhere around there.
Just about 2000, yeah.
So what's the second thing people should know?
Second thing people should know about our fat bikes and Moots in general is it's all made right here in the U.S. Using U.S. manufactured materials. And anything that you see with a Moots name or brand on it was made right here under this one roof out of Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Awesome. USA made. That's and the highest quality ingredients and the highest quality chefs.
That's right. The best products, best materials with the best processes for sure.
All right. And what's the penultimate, the number three thing that consumers need to know?
I think something to keep in mind when you're thinking about Moots and fat bikes is our location. Steamboat Springs, Colorado sits at about 6,500 feet in elevation, just below the Continental Divide. And our testing grounds here in the valley are second to none. Average about 350 inches of snow per year. And that allows us to get out and ride, tweak our products so the end user has a much better experience.
Well, there you have it. Thanks, John, for doing our little segments for Fat Bike Radio. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for coming by, Gomez.
Hey, welcome back to the show. We're back with Fat Bike Radio here. Gomez on the Western Slope. We got Sven over there getting ready to tackle the River West 24 along with JK. What's the name of your team, boys?
That is a good question. We saw Mr. Berger briefly today, but I don't remember what it's called this year. Do you?
Brap the Moist.
Oh, yeah. Brap the Moist.
Brap the Moist.
That's right.
Oh, Brap the Moist. Interesting.
Somehow to shoehorn the word moist into the world.
The word moist seems to make certain people uncomfortable.
So Saddle Drive, 45, here's the big news, 45 North didn't even come. It's like they believe that they're such a winter company. I think that they're down, I don't know, selling warm stuff to the penguins in Antarctica or something, doing deep research with this new designer mountain bike brands or something.
Or something.
What's up with that, David? You can't just like not come to a big company event. It's just chaos there. But big news from Salsa, you know, Salsa's line was all introduced.
Yeah, I saw the Klein inspired paint jobs on the bear grease. That's very nice.
Yeah, and the pony wrestler.
You gotta come up with some names from somewhere somehow.
Yes. How about the bone gristle, or the, you know, something that sounds
or the
more.
So it's based on the horse thief?
Horse thief, and that's why they went with Pony Rustler.
Yeah, I get it.
So it would be more like Dalian Spanker.
Yeah, I like it. I like
it. All I know is Pony Rustler.
I see a future for you at QBP just coming up with names, G-Dog. You know, it's like, yeah, Stallion Spanker. I like it.
The Pedigree Milker. Something horrible.
The Equine Milker.
equine stomper, equine embezzler.
There's a plethora of names that maybe would have been a little bit better than pony wrestler.
How about the horse whisperer? I wouldn't need that.
How about the kick-ass bike on the trail? How'd that be?
And everybody, we got tons of positive feedback on that. So,
did you get a chance to actually ride the pony wrestler out there at Saddle Drive?
I didn't even, because I had other stuff that I had to be doing that is, you know.
Top secret.
There was a big plushie festival in town.
Oh, no, the furry? Furby? Yeah.
Furbies?
The furries.
So I had to split my time. But that's all bullshit.
So are you going to, Gomez, are you going to hang on the show, all show, and weigh in, or do you want...
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, we didn't really even...
Maybe I'll just colonel flag you somewhere in the middle, and you won't even know.
Yeah, it'd be like, the wind just broke his leg. we do have, Travis, you're still with us, right?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about wrestling a pony, man.
Well, I got another 907 area code we're going to bring into the old conversation here. So welcome to the weekly dose of fat there, Alaska native. Who do we have on the line?
Yeah, it's Mr. Tupper Becker.
Tupper, we got Travis from Anchorage, and we got Uncle Gomez also calling in from his western trip out there in Colorado. So those guys are all on the phone while JK and I are sitting here in the studio.
Rehydrating.
Down the fort.
Yeah, what's happening, man?
Oh, you know, just living the dream, enjoying the sun, and selling fat bikes in July.
Gotta love that. So are you at a bike shop working in the summer season?
Yeah, I'm helping out my buddies at Goldstream Sports. They're all super endurance athlete ninja guys that ride road bikes and fat bikes and stuff and do triathlons. And I'm like the BMX kid that's out of shape and just like comes and bullshits and sells bikes.
Right on.
I bring the diversity.
Yeah, right. I think we kind of touched on this last week. Maybe Travis can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we were asking how the plus bike scene is fleshing out up your way with the new 27 plus bikes making kind of a big splash in the media and at pony wrestling and all that stuff. Are people interested in them up your way?
It'll take time. I think it'll come about. Just because we're almost like the most northern city in America, you know, as far as like with legitimate bike shops in Alaska. So it's going to take a little bit of time for us to, you know, get on that bandwagon, but they're about, and the people up here, they know about them, but I think it'll be a little bit before you start seeing them on the trail heavily. But all us shop guys, we want one, you know.
I can feel you, because I've been riding one for the last several weeks, and they're badass.
Yeah. No, they look cool. I mean, I think with the fat bikes that, you know, they've been coming out, we've all had the idea of, like, you know, throwing, like, 3-inch tires on there and running hardtails in the summer and stuff like that, though.
It's right up your alley then, for sure. So, Topper, yeah. did you happen to see what our actual question of the week is?
I did.
Would you like to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I get, not that like my opinion like carries any weight in the grand scheme of the bike industry, but I guess my personal experience with it is just, you know, I have all these friends that helped build this little company that I have, and they're all doing these grand adventures and, you know, 1,000 miles across Alaska and the Tour Divide and stuff like that. And, you know, just finally getting on my fat bike and doing like a, you know, doing a 100-mile race this last winter, it really inspired me and like just kind of opened my eyes to like what I've been missing out on. And, you know, I guess to really connect more with my friends and see, you know, like what they're doing, it's always inspired me, like the, you know, the lengths they go to of like training and these trips that they go on. But it's been awesome to do it for myself and just like have my own experience with it, you know, trial and error, like figuring out what works and what doesn't, and, you know, overcoming adversity on the trail, like whatever mechanical issues you have and just circumstances. It's opened my eyes to like bigger things that I want to do now, you know, bigger rides, you know, across Alaska, or, you know, you know, just stuff down in the States. It's always been impressive, but now since I've gotten a taste of it, like, I want to do more of it.
Very good, man. Yeah, I can see how, you know, with your business, it's something that you need to be doing as well, and just it kind of makes what you're doing like super legit, you know?
Yeah. I get a call at, you know, research and development too, and I write it off the tax.
Uh-huh. The tax man.
But yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good one, Tom.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's my 2 cents on it all.
What do you have, Uncle Gomez?
Well, I'll chime in on the weekly question. I think that I'm totally inspired by all from riding around the block to riding across Antarctica. I think I'm inspired by it all. For some people, a ride around the block is their step to riding a century or riding across the Antarctica. You know, it's bike riding is good. I like it all. And when I see people do incredible things, and, you know, I'm inspired a lot by photography and photos. I always have been. It's kind of been something that's been consistent since I was a young lad. National Geographic magazine, not just for the saggy boots, but for the
haunting eyes. The haunting eyes, saggy boots.
I was
boots. Waiting
for that before you even said it, by the way.
Wait for it.
That's a reason why it was on the back of the toilet all the time.
It was just one, really?
Page 16. No.
I'm just thinking of a picture of Eric Larson where it's him carrying four garbage pails on his fat bike, and all you can see is him and in his brightly colored parka and his bike with those containers on it, and everything else is just complete whiteout. And I can remember some pictures that Tim took out on the sea ice during the IPI, where similar thing. Just unbelievable, and the vistas from the whites from the White Mountains 100 is some of those pictures are just unbelievable with the blue sky and gray rock and white snow. It's gonna make me cry. No, just kidding.
Yeah, we just I think this Wednesday we had Joe McManus does a lot of really great photographs, and it was kind of a reminder of winter, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember being out in a place like that, and it's great.
Yeah, man. I've been surrounded by such unbelievable scenery for the last couple of weeks here in the Rockies. It's just been unbelievable. So, I got that going for me. A lot of scenery in my brain. So, Tupper, are you still on here?
I am. Sorry, I'm not super talkative.
I just like listening to
the sound of your voice, Gomez. It puts me right to sleep. It's soothing.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, what are you riding right now for fun? What are you doing on two wheels up there in Fairbanks for fun?
Well, I was.
Are you
I was
and Jeff up racing.
To? Yeah, I was racing BMX cruiser class, and then I got injured. Someone hit me, and I pulled a muscle or something. So I've been taking it easy for the last week, but I've been riding that, and then my Corvus with skinny wheels on it, skinny tires, just kind of playing around, and that's about it. Like a little bit of full suspension here and there on the trails, but a lot more BMX this summer than anything, just because my son's into it, so it's kind of doing that.
Well, spending time. Yeah. That's cool. So you Alaskan guys with the light carbon bikes, the Corvus and the Whiteout, can really just go with another set of wheels in the summertime and have a really kick-ass lightweight mountain bike.
Oh yeah,
I'd love to see what your Corvus with the B+ wheels on it would ride like.
Yeah, it's been a fun bike to play on this summer. Like, you know, that's I think everyone that, you know, can barely afford a carbon bike like me, you know, you have to make it do everything, get your money's worth. And a couple weeks ago, my dad, he's a super scientist and machinist, and he made me up these race spacers so I could fit a Bluto on my Corvus. And I put that on there and played around with that, and that was really fun too. And I handed a bunch of those spacers out to the guys up here at Beaver Sports, like Gilmore and all those guys. And it's been fun to see what you can do with a little bit of metal.
Yeah, take your 135 hub to 150.
Yeah. I stole it off a demo bike up here that we had, so I didn't have to build another wheel. But yeah, it was fun just bouncing around on that and playing on that. And, you know, just it makes you feel like a kid again, because you're just goofing around on bikes and dorking out and just having fun. You're not, you know, trying to win races or anything. You're just having fun with bikes.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I do. I've been riding a Bluto for a while here. So on this whole trip, on the Watchman Advocate Cycles fat bike that I've been testing out. So it's
how do you like that thing?
It rides really nice. It's really close to Sven's favorite fat bike from last year, the Blackborough, on paper. But it's a steel bike, and it's a 170, 177 bike. So that's four-inch version of a but, you know, that's what the new Mucklucks are, too, a four-inch version of the Blackborough.
Yeah, their entry one, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're going to see those two different platforms for the 5-inch and 29+, and then the 4-inch and the 27+ being like kind of soulmates, and they both do different things well. And I think it's great that people are getting a lot of choices for what they want to ride in their local area.
Yeah, absolutely. The Bluto is definitely the first ride I took it on before I left for this trip at Silver Lake. I got into a gravelly chute and got into really loose stuff and got a little crossed up, and that fork went, I got all the travel out of that fork, and then I was able to save it, and my feet left the pedals. That's how over the front end I was, and I pulled it out. So Bluto, I might just have to tip my hat to Bluto. Save my bacon. And then in, when I was riding that Watchman in Fruita, there's some steppy rock there, and you know, you get that thing going downhill, and it's like, oh yeah, I definitely got all the travel out on some of those landings of, you know, you start with a 4-inch step down, and then it quickly goes to like 6, 8, 12-inch step down. Like, it's like, oh, that was my life passing before my eyes, but that was awesome.
Have you guys tried out any of those 11.9 frames, those downhill fat bike frames at all? Have you guys gotten your hands on one of those yet?
Yeah, actually haven't had the full bikes in yet. We've had an 11.9 fork for quite a while now. Lance keeps threatening to come up here to the Midwest with a van full of bikes and go riding with us, so it's probably time to put the shout out to Lance and say, time to make good on your threat there, buddy.
Yeah, get on it, hippie. I've been lusting after those things for the last year.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a couple more full suspension fat bikes coming out there, but those guys were doing it before everybody else was, and I've ridden them at Interbike at the outdoor demo days, and even Lance's own personal original prototype, and you know, they've got massive potential, just haven't been able to really get one under my butt for an extended period of time.
Yeah,
our UK tester Jeff Price just reviewed the German Max Rackstax. I think that's how you say that. Crazy names.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how that might be pronounced. Yep.
I'm going with Rackstax.
Rackstax. Is that like a Star Wars figure?
Better than Tony Rustler.
Yeah. I think the pony wrestler, that's something that's interesting as far as a platform goes, though, notwithstanding the name that's getting a little bit of a little fun poked at it. But I'm excited to see that these are, I mean, that thing's not going to be available until basically next year, but it's good to see what's coming down the pipe.
I know I kid around with Salsa a lot, but
because we love them.
They're dual suspension bikes. The Horse Thief, the Pony Rustler, and that Bucksaw are freaking money, dude. All the feedback we get is killer. Like, that is, especially the Bucksaw. So,
yeah, and, again, and from guys that are really
our hat to you, Salsa.
Yeah, from guys that are really pounding on them too, like George up in right. Manitowoc, he loves that thing.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. And you know, I talk to everybody, so and I'm full of questions. So I ask everybody, how do you like that bike? How do you like this bike? Blah blah blah. So, and nothing but positive on that Bucksaw from, and that goes back, however long it's been out.
Basically, last year this time is when we first got it.
Yeah.
Got it right. At Saddle Drive.
Right.
And had Mr. Mark Peterson giving us some props for it right away.
Yeah. Right on.
Hey, I wonder how he's doing. I heard from him via email, and I forgot to ask him how his injury is doing. Hey, Mark, how's your injury doing?
I think he avoided surgery, and I think he's back on steed.
Oh, right on, man. Anytime you can avoid surgery, like, who needs that thing up your butt anyway?
With the injury report from the Fat Bike National...
Did it from the National Face Place look at the big shiny screen in front of me thing?
do we have anybody to send healing vibes to this week?
I don't know. Not that comes to mind.
Right? Carlos, but he's not. Wasn't riding a fat bike. He did get hit by a car, but he's all right. But he's ridden a fat bike before.
We'll see how you guys do on your River West 24.
Oh yeah, we're not in it to win it this year for sure. It's definitely a super casual.
I'm here to stop at stop lights.
yeah. This isn't something. We're not. There's no reason to be crazy this year. We don't.
Well, all right.
We don't need to do that.
Brap
the moist.
Brap the moist.
Uh huh. We're looking for parties. We're looking. You know, one of the tasks is to find a party on your lap and drag the rest of the team over to it. So stuff like that. I think you know. There's a rumor out there that this may be the last of the River West 24 races. I'm not sure that's totally true, but. I think it's kind of gotten so big. Yeah, it's gotten so big that it's sort of changed what the original kind of vibe was. And I'm glad to be a part of it, but we're going to be on the down low for sure.
Very good.
Well, I'm gonna depart ways with you guys. I got to get back to work. But have fun, Gomez, Sven, Travis.
Bye, Tupper.
Right on, Tupper. Thanks for calling in, man.
Wow, that was a tough one.
And he exits with what was that thing?
A vuvuzela?
Is that the thing they do at the soccer game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, those things are horrible. Mm-hmm. But all right. Well,
Windows is blowing machine.
that was like at hyperspace speed.
Come back here, you rabbit.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
So we're still on the hunt for regional reporters who can tell us. Son of a bitch, I can't start any of these, right?
Just roll it, man.
Barrel on through.
Yeah, barrel on through.
We're still on the hunt for regional reporters who can call in with a report about what's happening in the fat bike world. And we got our first official with parentheses, what the hell are those? Quotations. Damn it.
Air quotes, yeah.
Air quotes. Air quotes. I was even doing them. All right. So we have our first air quote official fat bike ambassador.
Travis.
And who do we find out who it is?
We do. We have Travis from Anchorage. He's our first fat bike ambassador. We've had Travis on the show several times, and he calls in regularly to hip us to the scene up in AK. And he's actually hanging out on the line waiting for us to talk.
Listening to the snickerings.
On my third pounder of IPA.
Oh, attaboy.
Right on. So if you're interested in being an on-the-scene call-in reporter, let us know at info@fatbike.com and use the subject line, Fat Bike Ambassador.
Or you could call in and sing to us.
Coo in my ear. Oh, that didn't sound right at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Travis got the gig by being persistent and calling in
ahead of time. Light up my life.
Oh, dude. That was awesome. So what's next on the show, JK?
Welcome to this week's Fatty Farm Field Report. Dun, 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 dun.
Yep, we've got... Well, one of the things that came across the email this week that I wanted to mention was we got a note from Mary Huff of the Down Syndrome Association of Minnesota about a raffle going on to support their I Can Bike camp in the Twin Cities.
The I Can Bike camp is for individuals with a disability who want to learn how to ride a bike.
Yep, and check this out.
Independently.
Right? You know. The cool thing about this is, you know, besides being a great cause, it's a raffle for a Salsa Bear Grease 2 fat bike. The drawing is on Saturday, August 1st at the Shifting Gears for Down Syndrome event in Owatonna, Minnesota. Only 100 tickets will be sold, and we've got a link to the raffle on the show notes.
Dude, that's a good deal. 1 in 100 chance?
Right, and I think that...
Of winning a bear grease.
Yeah, and the tickets are $50, but, you know, it's like a good cause. And they're going to give the bike away regardless of whether they sell all 100 tickets or not. So check it out.
And tonight we race. We race, we race, we race. Around in circles.
It is the River West 24 tonight.
Tonight. Fry night.
Fry night.
Fry night. So if you get a chance and you
who's
see...
Who's getting the haircut? Who's getting the tattoo?
Puck's getting the haircut for sure.
Yeah, Puck's getting the haircut. I've been growing my hair out since last year's with the end, not really the anticipation, but.
Anticipation.
To get it cut because it worked so fabulously last year.
Fab.
And yeah, Tony with the tattoo. So.
Yep. Well, that's a good thing. That's a good scene.
Yeah, it's going to be a jam no matter what.
So
it's gonna be fun stuff.
We know Gomez is on his westward ho swing, and he sent us a report from Benton at Salsa.
Yeah, man.
Let's give that a listen.
Benton from Salsa.
Shall we?
This is Gomez. I'm on my western field trip. I'm at Saddle Drive, and I have Benton Hunt, global sales manager for Salsa Cycles here. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Gomez.
And he's going to tell us the three most important things that people need to know about Salsa fat bikes.
You know, the first thing that we take a lot of pride in when we develop fat bikes is that we've been doing it for 10 years. You know, we're on second, third, fourth, fifth iterations of fat bikes because they truly are, in our opinion, mountain bikes, and they're purpose-driven. It's why we make four different variations of fat bikes that are very unique. And that's the biggest thing to know about Salsa. It's not just one and done.
Gotcha. Number two.
Second thing is a sort of an iteration of that one and done is, you know, we make a 5-inch bike, a 4-inch bike, a 4-inch full suspension bike, is we design them in a way that we don't compromise. So with a 5-inch bike with 100mm rims, we have that wider Q factor and that wider bottom bracket because we truly believe that chain line is super important for the longevity and the function of the bike. So 5-inch bikes for us can't be 4-inch and 3-inch or the other way around. They really are purpose-built.
Purpose-built, number two. And number three.
Number three is the distance you can take them. You know, it's based on experience. For us, we have a ton of riders that have been riding fat for a long time, and we're constantly looking at the next innovation, how to stay in front, and how to add that next touch that keeps us on the edge.
Right, riders like JP, who...
Yep, Descovia 150 record this year, has finished 135, Airhead 135 several times riding it. So for Bear Grease, constantly refining that. This year, he did the Gnome ride, 1,100 miles through Alaska on the Muckluck Tie. Constantly giving us feedback, refining that product. You know, it's not a touch or a tangible piece at number three, but it really does help every year, help innovate, help make fat bikes better. Because to us, fat bikes aren't just a novelty piece. They really are a category.
Well, thanks for joining us on our little segment here. Really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
No, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Gomez.
Yeah, that was recorded in the beautiful Montañas above Ogden, Utah.
Montaña?
Snow Basin Resort. Montañas.
Is that Montana? So, is that Montana for the layperson?
It's mountains for people.
No,
it's mountain.
No, I couldn't understand what you're saying. I thought you were saying Montana with an accent. Montana.
Tony Montana.
Had a couple of beautiful days up there at Saddle Tribe.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
Well, we're back live here in the studio, an extended studio here in the western slope of Colorado.
I saw your thing on the 2016 Kona. Whoa. Up on the site.
Oh, yeah. I always think that when the new bikes start coming in, hey, Fred, you see the new Bukes in at the dealership? That's I put sign in.
That's the, when I was out east, that was the, not the 2016, of course, but it was a Kona. Whoa. Whoa. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, but I'd like
was
to.
Was it black or was it?
Black.
British Racing Green.
It was black.
It was black, so it was the original one.
Yep.
Yeah. It was that's a good jam.
I really love those.
Yeah, it's an eight mile burn on absolute nothing beach. All you have to navigate are tourists on the beach, which is a game in itself. And it's a rental, and it's on them. It's on them to clean it. So I was jamming in the salt water. I don't care. I don't have to clean it.
Yeah, there's 100+ yards of beach there, right? I mean, there's a long ways from the houses to the actual water.
Yeah, it's about 100 yards. Yeah. But the beachfront, apparently, you can go all the way from Virginia Beach area down to South Kakalaki, or not South, but North Kakalaki by Outer Banks. I'm doing it next year.
Gomez has been out there exploring that very area.
We just Instagrammed Ox's picture from his trip there this summer. So
we're all social media like that.
Out there in the
world. It's a hot spot of fat bike fun.
Mm-hmm.
Much like Ogden, Utah was this last 2 days. Oh, yes.
The fun of snow.
Feel the fun.
Right on.
Feel it.
Well,
fun, rainbows, fat bikes.
Little frogs with top hats.
Oh, we do have a few links this week. I think I'll just let folks check it out. Basically, we've got kind of the updates to the Salsa line, checking in with Coast Kid.
That sounded good. We, to the Salsa.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Conga line.
Conga line. We have a little bit about some plus bike stuff with the Pony Rustler and more on Scott's 27 plus plans. So check out those links in the show notes.
We got the sergeant coming our way if we like it.
Right on.
Could be for you, Sven. It's your size. It's the exact bike that Alex showed us.
Oh, super! Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm all about those bikes for sure. So we'll put her through.
You can work it into your busy schedule.
Yeah, we've been collecting up a few things here that need some testing. A box full of Fat Me Nimbles of all sizes this last week. So 27 plus, 29 plus, 26 fat bike tires, blah, blah, blah. So we got some more stuff rolling through the test kitchen.
I know that Ken Blakey Shell is working on a Fat Me Nimble review right now for the 29 plus.
Right on, yep. And he's doing a Dirt Wizard thing, too, I think. He's all over tires, that guy.
Yeah. We're just waiting for the final pictures on Dirt Wizard.
Okay. And
all of the stories are almost ready to go. So we have a full week coming up here. It's kind of getting into that season that I think Chewy loves the best, which is bike show season.
Everybody loves a bike show.
So, Chewy, you have to call in next week. We're going to taunt you until you call in and yell at us, because we need it.
We need yelling at. All right. Well, thanks again to Surly for sponsoring the radio portion of today's broadcast. Join us next week when we ask the question,
how do you feel about USA Cycling's involvement with fat bike racing?
Chewy. All right, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
That's it. That's the whole show.
That's it.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.